Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, December 29th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Dimiake Mokalielie.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Kombi tout Marvelous Kandemiri, who is alleged to have attempted to strip a woman in public in Harare, has been denied bail by a local magistrate.
We are happy that, you know, we have a lot of people who are interested in the case, not just women, but men were also there. And we believe that the kind of support that we have is evident that Zimbabweans are truly concerned about women's safety and security.
Some observers say the backlash against ZANU-PF officials perceived to be over-idolizing Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa is the strongest indication yet that Mr. Mnangagwa's loyalists may be turning against each other after crushing a faction allegedly led by Joyce Mujuru.
I would say politics is a game of coups and counter-coups. It therefore doesn't come as a surprise, I mean, that we are witnessing campaigns within a previously intact and determined faction.
And Education Minister Lazarus Dokora says all pupils who have not yet secured Form 1 places will be admitted in public schools despite the serious shortages of schools in Zimbabwe.
Kombi tout Marvelous Kandemiri, who is alleged to have attempted to strip a woman in public in Harare, has been denied bail by a local magistrate. His lawyers told Studio 7 Kandemiri appeared in court chambers as police feared that gender activists would storm the magistrate's court as they have been angered by a video showing touts molesting the woman at a public bus terminus in the city. The state claims that he was a part of a group at the 4th Street bus terminus who tried to strip the unidentified woman, saying that she was wearing a too revealing dress. Kandemiri is facing charges of indecent assault. His accomplices are still at large following a police appeal for the identification of the assailants who appeared in a video which went viral on social media. Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye speaks with a gender activist, Talent Jumo, about this issue.
A lot of women turned up, and we are happy that, you know, we have a lot of people who are interested in the case, not just women, but men were also there. And we believe that the kind of support that we have is evident that Zimbabweans are truly concerned about women's safety and security in our country, in our streets, in our towns. We are also very happy because the lawyers that are working with the courts who are also supporting the case of the girl have informed us that the accused men have been remanded in custody, so they weren't granted bail, meaning that they are still in police custody, and we believe that this is evident. You know, the courts actually taking this matter very seriously, and we believe that this will also ensure that the seriousness with which they're taking this case will ensure that more of the culprits will be apprehended and brought to the court so that justice will be served.
Was the young lady who was accosted actually at the court hearing?
At this point in time, we would like to just let that the identity and the movements of the lady who was harassed still being kept very confidential because most of the culprits are still out there and she is at risk.
And that was gender activist Talent Jumo of Katsoe Sisterhood speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Some observers say the backlash against ZANU-PF officials perceived to be over-idolizing Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa is the strongest indication yet that Mr. Mnangagwa's loyalists may be turning against each other after crushing a faction allegedly led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. The latest official to take flak from state media and subsections in ZANU-PF is Mashonaland West Provincial Minister Faber Chidarikire, after he introduced Mr. Mnangagwa's wife, Auxilia, at a weekend party as the acting first lady. The Herald newspaper criticized Chidarikire today, saying he had raised the boot-licking bar to intolerable levels. 2 weeks ago, the paper laid into another ZANU-PF official, Josiah Hungwe, after he allegedly linked Mnangagwa to Jesus Christ. Some feel this may mean that Mnangagwa's group is crumbling, speculating that he may be at odds with one of his allies, Jonathan Moyo, the man some credited with leading the state media campaign that saw the fall of Mujuru. Political analyst Chamunoro Madiridze says the alleged Mnangagwa faction is imploding.
I would say politics is a game of coups and counter-coups. It therefore doesn't come as a surprise. I mean, that we are witnessing campaigns within a previously intact and determined faction that barely a month ago was purposely united in destroying the alleged Mujuru-led faction. All what this entails, I mean, is a weakened ZANU-PF that has forever departed from its values, a ZANU-PF with no single center of power at the moment, as was the case in the 1990s and in the early 2000s. And the problem emanates from the Congress itself. What came out from the Congress is illegitimate. To anyone who was following ZANU-PF as a supporter, and to anyone who was, a ZANU-PF leader, it was illegitimate and illegal because they breached a number of constitutional provisions, party constitution provisions, and this is now backfiring to the Mnangagwa faction.
And who are these people, Mr. Madiridze, that you are saying are now rallying against Mr. Mnangagwa?
I would want to suspect that Jonathan Moyo, being the one who had been at the helm of information, state-controlled, information disseminators, I think he's the one behind all these shenanigans and all these attempted coups. I would name him and say he's the one behind the destruction of Mujuru and is the one now with a new agenda of destroying Mnangagwa.
That was political analyst Chamunoro Madiridze on the line with Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo from Johannesburg. But a ZANU-PF official, Nicholas Mnangagwa, says the infighting is imaginary.
We are talking of people having a party, yeah. So when you are at a party, people will say whatever they say because people are having a party. These are not political gatherings. These were not rallies. These were just functions where people were celebrating. How many times people say things which are offside at a party? At some point, say, oh, what were you talking about? I think you were drunk or whatever. I'm not saying these guys were drunk. I'm simply saying you have to put everything in the context of what was the event, what was happening at that event, and not read too much into it. ZANU-PF is not a religion where everything that is going to say is going to be read in the context of, oh, that's blasphemy. Oh, that's, no, it's not a religion. It's a political party full of individuals who got opinions, full of individuals who are very gifted in charisma or articulation, some who are not so eloquent, some who would probably say something that they don't really mean to say in that sense. So let's not read too much into any of those.
If there is no implosion here, Mr. Mangwana, why then all this heavy-handed backlash?
What do you mean by backlash? A backlash from the media. Come on, it's Christmas time. There's no news. There's nothing happening in Zimbabwe right now because it's Christmas period. So anything happening around Christmas would be good news. I mean, it would be big news. But there is no implosion.
It's the same media that took Mujuru to the cleaners. And it seems now is doing the same against Mr. Mnangagwa's glorifiers.
Well, they are commenting on things that would be offside. All that's happening is the media is simply saying some people are getting overexcited. Don't get overexcited.
That was, in fact, ZANU-PF official Nicholas Mangwana on the line with Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo from England.
Primary and Secondary Education Minister Lazarus Dokora says all pupils who have not yet secured Form 1 places will be admitted in public schools despite a serious shortage of schools in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
In a ministerial statement ahead of the opening for the first term for 2015, Dokora told journalists that schools would have to enroll afternoon classes to ensure every deserving pupil is accommodated. He said his ministry has directed district education officers to assist parents who have not yet secured places for their children.
It has come to my attention that there are a number of parents who are still looking for Form 1 places for their children or dependents. Such parents are requested to approach their local district education offices for assistance. The district education office will indicate boarding or day school places that are still available where applicable.
Thousands of pupils have not yet secured Form 1 places after the ministry abolished the entrance test system where pupils would choose schools of their choice. Under the new system, schools are required to register pupils from the local area. This has resulted in some headmasters demanding proof of residence before registration. Dokora said this is justified for day schools.
If it's a day school, proof of residence becomes important because we don't want learners to be stressed either. And to say that you will bus your child every day, it may be convenient for the parent to say that. But is it good for the learner to change two buses going to school every day?
He said with slightly more than 8,200 primary and secondary schools, Zimbabwe needs an additional 2,056 to be able to cater for all pupils. Dokora added that more than 1,000 schools, particularly in resettlement areas, needed to be upgraded to acceptable standards. The shortage of public schools in Zimbabwe has seen a proliferation in privately run and registered schools. Government abolished entrance tests for Form 1, saying schools were milking parents through the tests. Dokora said parents should not pay for grade 1 school places. However, some schools are charging between $50 and $120 to register a child for grade 0 or grade 1. He said these officers would carry out investigations and those found guilty would be dealt with in terms of the law. The first term for 2015 opens on the 13th of January. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Happy holidays, Zimbabwe. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, D.C., hoping you are having a fantastic time with family and friends. He is hoping that 2015 will be filled with new blessings and new opportunities. Continue to tune in to Studio 7 for news you can rely on. You are my treasure.
You are my treasure. Members of the MDC formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai and some belonging to the MDC renewal team reportedly clashed over the weekend at a funeral in Buhera West, Manicaland province. Witnesses say members of the two formations clashed at the burial of the mother of MDC renewal team director general Toende P. Shone. The witnesses say all hell broke loose when renewal team official Elton Mangoma was booed when he started attacking Tsvangirai at the funeral. This reportedly did not go down well with some MDC team members, with one, Paul Makuise, who is also a councillor, interjecting and ordering Mangoma to sit down.
Makuise says as MDCT, they were not going to fold their arms and let the visitors attack their leader in his own backyard. Tsvangirai also comes from Buhera and is related to Shone. Makuise tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that it was becoming a norm for the renewal team to attack Mr. Tsvangirai, even where it did not warrant that.
Really, there was tension at the funeral coverage, but then it was only these people when they tried to publicize their party, the renewal team, but then their agenda could not even come out because they were really hiding what they were supporting for. Even though they were given the platform to chant what they were supposed to do, we really denied them as they were really denouncing our president, Morgan Tsvangirai. Even though denouncing ZANU-PF, we had no problem with that. But as they started denouncing President Morgan Tsvangirai as the one who is now colliding with ZANU-PF, really, they took us to the height of telling them that, no, they should be really vacate the place.
And after you had ordered them to vacate, did they leave the homestead?
They didn't leave the place totally. They took themselves to a certain place To which then I approached them and told them, you guys, what you have done, it's tantamount to nothing here as an agenda. To pronounce your party here, maybe you were to organize it through your party structures. But because there is nothing here in Boera to party with.
How did they receive this from you?
They were tongue-tied. Because it was really a serious position. The atmosphere was not even conducive for them. So they thought I, as an element who was so instrumental, they thought the people would even come with their support as they have been denouncing, shouting, no, we no longer want to see you here.
That was MDCT member and Buhera councillor Paul Makubise speaking on the line with reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Buhera. Jonga also spoke with MDC renewal team organizing secretary for Manicaland province, Pishai Muchauraya, who professed ignorance about the issue.
I think he is just trying to make cheap scores here. Mr. Makubise, we know him as an agent of the CIO and not even part of the MDC Tsvangirai. As to why he would actually say he stood on behalf of Morgan Tsvangirai is actually mind-boggling, because even Tsvangirai himself came to the funeral. He was there for 10 minutes and he left. And when everyone spoke from our party, no one was even against MDC Tsvangirai. It was about why we are there as MDC Renewal, the achievements that we've made so far and what we tend to achieve by 2018. And that's all.
Mr. Makuise claims that he had to force Mr. Mangoma to cut short his speech.
No, no, he never did that if ever he was there. In fact, for a record, Mrs. Shoni, the one who died, the deceased, was our secretary for recruitment for Buhera West. And Tony Bishop is the director general for MDC countrywide. This was an MDC renewal funeral. There was no way this MDC people could have taken part there.
That was MDC Renewal Team's Manicaland Provincial Organizing Secretary Pishai Muchauraya speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Chipinge, Manicaland Province.
Johannesburg United Methodist Church is on the New Year's Eve closing its doors to more than 500 refugees, including Zimbabweans, who left home for various reasons. The leadership of the church says it took this decision due to lack of funds and unexplained internal fissures. Those living in the church are expected to vacate and seek accommodation elsewhere. Officials say nearly 500 refugees remain in the church, many without accommodation or a place to live. The church has assisted and housed nearly 30,000 refugees over the past years. Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo spoke to United Methodist Church Bishop Paul Verine, who explains the dire situation most of the remaining refugees are facing.
On Christmas Eve, we took account. There were about 468 people still in the building then. I think the number is reducing. There are people looking for alternatives in the inner city. We've got options in Soweto to be able to offer them if they prepare to move there. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to open alternatives for them and that they won't. Well, they will not. I'm saying they won't end up on the street.
What is the impact, well, as you're talking about now, that your hope is that everyone is accommodated and they will not end up on the street? How is this closing to the refugees impacting their lives?
Well, you know, many of them have stayed here for quite a long time. The longest must be 10 years at least. And obviously the mood in the building is very subdued. Some of it's very sad, you know, because this has been a place of safety. For many, it's been a place of healing. For many, it's been a place of giving them back some place of dignity.
And what's your message to any well-wishers that might be concerned? Many Zimbabweans will be listening to this who are interested in how they might be able to assist.
Well, you know, first of all, if there are any people in the city of Johannesburg that can open a space, be highly, highly appreciated. If anybody in positions of influence can find a building in the inner city that we can begin to use, highly appreciated.
That was United Methodist Church Bishop Paul Verine speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Johannesburg.
A political refugee, Noel Muguti, who has been living at the United Methodist Church, says he and many other Zimbabweans will be stranded if they leave the church premises. He tells Studio 7 star Tenda Gumbo the church has been his home since he fled his home in Zimbabwe 7 years ago.
Actually, everyone is depressed and is very deeply about the issue of being told to leave a place which has been providing accommodation overnight for many years.
How did you find yourself at the United Methodist Church from Zimbabwe?
I'm a political refugee. I contested on the House of Assembly ticket for MDC 2008 for a constituency called Gokwene Mbuzia. I came here with two broken ribs after having been tortured, abducted.
Have you secured a place to stay once the doors close?
At the moment, to be honest and to be frank enough, there is a place, but that place is the Soweto Center. It doesn't allow people with much belonging. And the other side, it is being said that he hasn't been given the keys of that alternative accommodation. And he has been waiting for those keys since before Christmas.
Are you with any other family members or are you alone, and how will you accommodate those around you?
Actually, it's a dog-eat-dog situation. At the moment, we are all lost. It's just what will happen tomorrow is everybody's worry, because there isn't anyone who has an alternative to go by his own.
And from your understanding, why exactly are they closing the doors to refugees at the United Methodist Church?
Actually, it's not special program. They're not closing the doors. They're forcing out. There's been a battle with the church for many years. Now they finally pushed them out.
Noel Muguti is a political refugee living at the Johannesburg United Methodist Church. He was speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
people living with disabilities are facing critical shortages of essential materials such as leather to make wheelchairs.
But first, here's a look at regional and international news.
The head of Indonesia's search and rescue agency says the missing Air Asia jet is likely on the bottom of the sea. Bambang Sulistyo told reporters in Jakarta today the Airbus 320 with 162 people on board is presumed to have crashed Sunday off the Indonesia coast in the Java Sea. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he has ordered a review of the country's aviation procedures following the plane's disappearance.
And Italy says that all the remaining passengers have been rescued from the car ferry that caught fire off the island of Corfu that capped the death toll at 5 in the Adriatic Sea disaster. Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi said Monday that only the captain of the Greek ferry and a handful of crew members remained aboard the Italian-flagged Norman Atlantic while authorities prepared to tow it to port. He praised the efforts of the rescue workers, saying they prevented a slaughter at sea.
Critical shortages of essential materials such as leather to make wheelchairs for people with disabilities has many in the community calling on the government to better capacitate facilities like the Parirenyatwa Orthopedic Center. Studio 7's Safari Njema visited those affected in Harare, Wedza and Magunje and filed this report.
Getting around various parts of the country, including Harare, is a big challenge for many people with disabilities of the limbs. Shortage of funds has affected Parirenyatwa's orthopedic center's ability to purchase leather and other materials necessary to make wheelchairs, artificial limbs, special joints, and other assistive devices. Among those affected is 46-year-old Chris Samuel Makisi Kofi, a father of three from Mukucha village in Magunje, who has a physical disability and moves with the aid of crutches. He says many children with physical challenges are no longer attending school, while women and men are failing to access critical services such as health care.
It's a sad situation because some are now using their hands to walk because they don't have walking aids or wheelchairs. parents are also finding it difficult to carry children who are physically challenged every day to school over long distances.
Technicians at the orthopedic center, who declined to be named, tell Studio 7 that part of the reduction in productivity is due to the fact that heavy-duty sewing machines that were sent for service were confiscated after the hospital failed to pay the $200 service fee. Some living with disabilities accuse the center, which caters for all those with disabilities throughout the country, of neglect. 34-year-old Praxedes Chadambura from Chitida in Wedza, who uses crutches and a wheelchair, says they are not a priority to government or the center.
Isusu tinotaura asa tione kwa zvinoenda nako vanotora vanofamba.
We make a lot of noise about the need to address our plights, but no one listens. They choose those who are able-bodied to decide on our issues. People with disabilities should be given the opportunity to speak for themselves.
Also frustrated with the center is 32-year-old Sydney Chitsiwa, who says he is now totally reliant on his parents and lives with them in Mavuku because his assistive devices are worn out and hazardous to use.
Kusheka pozvinhu zvakadaro ndoona kuti nedzimwe nguva kusaitirwa hanya.
Authorities have never really been concerned about our plight. My calipers are my legs because I cannot move around without them. It's like cutting off someone's toe and expecting them to go on an errand while they are still in pain. That's inhuman.
Clever Mukazi, a 35-year-old father of one who lives in Harare's Avenues area, agrees, adding he's even given up going to the orthopedic center to repair his shoes or have new ones made.
Nukuti unonzwa zvichinzi makalipers sezvinezvi ndaidawo kugadzirisa angu nokuti anditori nawo makalipers a 2007 chaiko chaiko.
I last had calipers made in 2007. As someone who is unemployed, I cannot fork out $350 to buy new ones. I'd rather stay without them and struggle with these crutches, which are also worn out. It must be worse for someone in the rural areas.
Minister of Health and Child Welfare, Dr. David Parenyatwa, denies that the government does not care about people with disabilities. Dr. Parenyatwa says, in fact, he is sympathetic to the plight of people with disabilities and offers that the government is working on solutions to the problem, including submitting a proposal to cabinet to reduce prices of assistive devices.
Apa ndinonyaso ziva ndine vanhu vari ku family yangu vakaita izvozvo. Saka ndinonyaso ziva kuti zviri kudhura chaizvo.
I completely understand the problem people with disabilities are facing in regards to the orthopedic center. Because they have relatives who are physically challenged, we have intervened through budgetary support to the health sector to revive the center.
Dr. Parenyatwa says he has put forward a motion in Parliament for a law that will ensure assistive devices are always available. Chairperson of the Women with Disabilities Organization, Mrs. Rejoice Timire, says she has engaged government on a number of occasions over the crisis at the orthopedic center. She says government officials cite lack of funds for the situation at the center. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will talk with listeners and experts about moves by the Methodist Church to shut down the Johannesburg branch with hundreds of refugees, including Zimbabweans.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318. Again, that's 001-202-465-0318, so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Kombi Taud Marvelous Kandemiri, who is alleged to have attempted to strip a woman in public in Harare, has been denied bail.
Some observers say the backlash against ZANU-PF officials perceived to be over-idolizing Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa is the strongest indication yet that Mr. Mnangagwa's loyalists may be turning against each other after crushing the faction allegedly led by Joyce Mujuru.
And Education Minister Lazarus Dokora says all pupils who have not yet secured Form 1 places will be admitted in public schools despite a serious shortage of schools in Zimbabwe.
That's our broadcaster this evening.
Now please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamile Nkomo. This is Ndimiyake Mokalielie in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.